Good morning. Today's daf in Nazir, Samech Vav. Welcome to the last daf of the Masechta. It is a relatively short daf and totally unrelated to the Masechta of Nazir. There is going to be a Mishnah at the tail end, which we're going to get to shortly enough, where it's going to take us back to Nazir. But here in the ninth parak, as we've already noticed, so topics of the ninth parak are not connected, not necessarily connected to Nazir. Let's begin the Mishnah. Before beginning the Mishnah we're going to begin is on Samech Hamid Beis. And before beginning the Mishnah, so just a brief introduction. There is a tumah known as Zava, and Zav. And so we're going to be focusing primarily on Zav, but you need to know a little bit of halachas regarding a Zava as well. Zava is obviously for the male, and Zava is for a female. Okay, the introduction is going to be a little bit graphic, but that's fine. The adult conversation for adults in the room. As far as a zav is concerned, so if a man has a discharge, now we're not talking about a seminal discharge. A seminal discharge in halacha is referred to as a bal keri, and obviously that could occur with any man who's with his wife. So he is a bal keri, he has a bal keri discharge, and it's true that the keri itself is tamei, and it's true that he himself is also going to be tamei. Tovel's in the mikvah, and he'll be tohar. But we are not talking about a Balkari over here, we're talking about Zav. So Zav is differentiated from Balkari in a number of different aspects. It comes out of the aver, it comes out of the male organ while it's not Bekishui. Its viscosity and its color are different than that of Keri. Okay, the Rambam gives a very, very short description. I just looked it up this morning. A short description in terms of the differences, the physiological differences between them. And I'm not sure if I can give you like a modern description of what exactly it is, but it doesn't matter. In other words, as far as the Torah is concerned, so if a man has a zav discharge, now he's going to become tummy. Now, what do we need to know? So we need to know the schedule of tummy. If he discharges this once in a day, so then he's a zav. But in other words, but again, the tummy is light. He is a zav, but the purification, the tahara, it's simply going to be going to the mikvah and Harav Shemesh. If, on the other hand, he has two. Now, the two could be done in either 2 days, two consecutive days, or the two can be even in the same day. If he has two discharges, so now he's what's called a Zav Gadol. He's a major Zav. In order for him to become Tar, he's going to require Shiva Nikiyim and seven clean days, meaning uninterrupted, not having any kind of discharge during those days. Mm-hmm. And only after the Shiva Nikiyim, then and only then, is he going to be tahor? Good. And then there is finally a zav who has three discharges. Now, once you have three discharges, so again, within 3 days time, so now you're not only a zav gadol, you were a zav gadol already by two. Not only are you a zav gadol, but on top of that, in addition to that, you also have to bring karbanos as well. Meaning after your Shiva Nikim, you are now in the category of what's called Mechusrei Kapara. You cannot go into the Beis HaMikdash until you bring your karbanos on day 8. Fine. So it is for a man who has his Zav discharge, it's 1, 2, and 3. Now, here's where another really important facet of male Zav discharge is significant. And that is that it only qualifies as a Zav discharge only if it is Machmaso. It has to be internally induced. It can't be externally induced. Now, internal induction versus external induction. So a little bit tricky, meaning, I'm going to try to describe it. But obviously the fact that I really am not sure what we're talking about. So it's a little bit tricky, but it's not so hard in that the Mishnah itself is now going to go over 7 different external factors, meaning we're going to be learning together in our Mishnah 7 different external factors that once the Zav is coming out, but only because of external factors, it doesn't qualify as Zav. Okay. Now, I say that also knowing, and we're going to see all this in the Mishnah. Everything I'm saying, by the way, we're going to see together in the Mishnah, but this is just a good introduction just to get us familiar with the basic ideas. The externally driven Zav discharge is not going to qualify. In other words, it won't be a Zav discharge. However, if already he had two classic Zav discharges. So then what's going to happen on number 3 is that number 3 now is going to qualify as a Zav discharge, even if it came from quote-unquote external sources, even if it was externally induced. And why? Because he already had two. So in other words, now we have what's called raglaim ledavar. In other words, he's already pretty much symptomatic. In other words, he's already shown enough of a tendency to have discharges. So the third one, so we're not going to make any distinction whether it was external or it was internal. Okay. And that's when it comes to a man. Now, when it comes to a woman, so the truth of the matter is that the zava by woman isn't entirely, it requires its own separate introduction. And I'm not going to go through it right now. 7 days of nida, 11 days of ziva. Okay. All I'm saying is that what I'm going to say regarding the woman is going to be terribly incomplete. However, there's only one thing that we need to know when it comes to the woman, and that is for the zava discharge of a woman, doesn't matter whether it was internally, externally induced. In other words, if it was machmasa, or if it was because of external causes, it doesn't matter. In other words, her zava discharge will qualify as a zava discharge, regardless of what caused it. That's by a woman. By a man, however, we have this distinction. That's all we need to know for understanding our sugya. Let's begin with the Mishnah. So there are seven ways that you're bodik as a zav. Now this is a Mishnah in Zavim. Okay? In other words, the Masechta dedicated to this particular topic, the second paragraph of Zavim. And obviously over here, we are far away from the Masechta of Nazir. But again, that's been the case over here in the ninth parak. We've gone a little bit off course. Yesterday we went off course in terms of burial. Today we talk about ziva. So b'shivat drachim botkim is the zav. So seven different ways that you go ahead and you examine the zav. Ashalon iskak the ziva before basically already being a repeat discharger. Okay. And in other words, basically what we're going to do for now, either the first or for the second discharge, is we're going to see whether or not it was internal or external. Again, if it's internal, zava, or wrong gender, ziva, meaning that discharge that comes out qualifies as ziva. The man who discharged it is now a zav. And that's going to be true for the first time, it'll be true for the second time, but it won't be true for the third time. Because already by number three, if he had two regular zav discharges, then for number three, we don't look to make any distinction. So what are the seven factors that we're looking at? Michael, the Mishnah, too much eating, too much drinking. Basically, you know, there's one common thread over here in all these seven factors, and that is that these factors weakened it. Right? You eat a lot of food. After you eat a lot of food, you're right, you're weak. And the same thing with drinking too much. Probably over here means wine, but regardless. In other words, if you're drinking too much, again, it weakens you. So that's Michael Vemishta Mamasa. Let's say you were carrying too much, right? You went to the gym, were carrying too much weights. I know that's not what the Mishnah here is describing, but it's the same basic idea. In other words, you were schlepping too much. You're exhausted. So kfitza, you were jumping too much. So cardio. Uvecholi, or you were sick. Uvemar vehira, or you were looking at something that you shouldn't have been looking at. Over here, or you were thinking about something that you shouldn't have been thinking about. Okay, Tosis over here really spells it out. Right, what does that mean? You were looking at something that you shouldn't have been looking at. I'm reading Tosfos. Shira ish v'yishan, iskak and zelazer. So you see a man and a woman having relations. Okay, so certainly over here, by the way, meaning that the ziva is not balkari, right? It's not a seminal discharge. But, in other words, it is a discharge. Just, in other words, and by the way, I go back to the Rambam. I told you the Rambam doesn't say a whole lot in describing it. But he does describe that the zav, the actual substance itself, is basically the same material as a zera. In other words, it is from a biological standpoint, it is semen. And so, but again, its viscosity is different, its coloration is different, it's not coming out from an aver kashui. Okay. Anyway, so but the idea over here is that if you were watching. So, right, again, something we should not be watching. But if you're watching it, another man and woman having relations or thinking about it. And by the way, Tosfos is convinced, you can go on and Tosfos, I'm going to stop here. Tosfos is convinced that he's absolutely right, that's a Pshat Mara. So, Tosfos gets even more interesting as it goes on, but we'll pause over here. The basic idea is that if you ate too much, drank too much, or any of the seven that we just listed, so now that means to say that you are now going to have a zav discharge, but you can blame it on the external factor. Now, that doesn't excuse the external factor, certainly in the case of Mara, meaning you shouldn't have been doing it, but in other words, it does qualify as an external factor, and as a result of that, when you have the discharge, it will not count towards being a Zav. Not the first time, not the second time. Wow. Okay.
Who's doing the bedikah?
Tamachacham, somebody knows the halacha, you know, and they'll ask him questions like, you know, what were you doing beforehand? The v'chol v'mar v'hira mishenitzkak leziva. However, mishenitzkak leziva, that's basically an expression describing where now he is a chazaka. Now I'm using the word chazaka, by the way. Don't take me super literally. Because we're not talking about three times, we're only talking about two times. Okay, but the idea still is there. In other words, mission is Gaklizika, so now that he had two classic Zav discharges, so Ein Boken Oso, so now at this point in time, no Bedika. Meaning, on the third discharge, so now no delineation will be made between whether it was Machmaso or Meon So. We're not going to subdivide. Why? So in a moment, the Mishnah is going to say it. But even before the Mishnah says it, let's say it. Let's say it out loud. Because at this point in time, he clearly has a propensity. In other words, the Mishnah's terminology is going to be raglaim ladafer. Okay, in other words, he had a ziva discharge, and he had a qualified ziva discharge the first time and the second time. And so you know about the third time? We're not going to sit there and analyze whether or not it was external or internal. Now, onso, usfeko, v'shich v'zaro, temeim. Now, the Mishnah says that if it was ones, now, in other words, we're describing the third Zav discharge, if it was ones, or if it was a Safek, or if it was Shichvat Zera, so Tameyim, Sharaglaim Ladavar. We are going to say that it's Tamei, because Raglaim Ladavar. In other words, at this point in time, there's enough evidence, there's enough of a propensity where he has a Zav discharge. The third one also, it's going to be a Zav discharge. Okay, so keep this in mind, by the way, this will be most of today's Daf. You know what? When we get to the Gemara, I'm going to highlight it more. Okay, in terms of what we just saw together in the Mishnah. Hamakis chaver v'amdu l'misa v'hekel mimash ayelach mikar nehichbid umeis chayev. Makis chaver. So you give your friend a good hit. Okay, you're not a good friend, but you gave him a good hit. And at that point in time, the blow was so bad. So he went into critical condition. But then what happened is hekel mimashahaya. But then he got upgraded from critical condition to he's doing okay. So, and then he went back into critical condition. Okay, really looked terrible after the blow. Looked terrible, meaning he looked like he was in critical condition. Then it came up a little bit, looked like he was about to make a good recovery, and then went back down again. So now, you the one who hit him. Are you a murderer? It's a simple question. Okay? And in other words, is his death attributable to your hit? And what we're looking at now is the trending of his recovery, and because he trended up for just a moment, so maybe it should be disconnected from you. So, the Mishnah brings down a machlokus on this issue. So, according to the Tanakhama Chayef, the Tanakhama says, okay, in other words, you hit him, immediately after you hit him, he went into critical condition. I know there was a recovery period, but he went back down again. So, according to the Tanakhama, you're chayef. In other words, you're a murderer, and you will be eligible for execution. And Reb Nechemiah, Amar Pater, Sharaglam Ladavar, and Reb Nechemiah says, no, Pater, you're not going to be subject to the death penalty. Why Raglam Ladavar? Because once again now, we have at least room to suggest that he was making a recovery. He went back down again. Okay, that's Hashkacha. That's Kadosh Baruch Hu for his infinite wisdom and knowledge telling us that it was your time to go, but it wasn't a direct result of your hit, and so therefore you're not going to be put to death. Okay, so basic machlokas amongst the Tanayim, when you hit somebody and he goes into critical condition, but then takes a moment to leave critical condition, goes back again, So are you going to be chayv as a rotzeach, yes or no? Machlokis Tanayim. Okay, and again, you can ask, but I know the answer. You can ask, why in the world are we having this discussion right now? I mean, we're so far away from the word Nazir. So you see the connective tissue over here, Raglaim Ladavar. Meaning, in this Mishnah, we're just giving examples of what we're going to do with the concept of Raglaim Ladavar. Once you have a trend, we follow the trend. That's Raglaim Ladavar. And oh, by the way, tomorrow when we start Masechta Sota, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, so we're going to hear it again, Raglaim Ladavar. Okay, so it really is a, obviously it's a powerful force in halacha, this idea of trending, and so good. So we're just seeing a couple of examples. Okay, that example, that murder that we just saw in the Mishnah, so hopefully you'll remember it because we're not going to talk about it again in today's daf. Meaning the Gemara has no comment on it, fine. In other words, but the first part of the Mishnah regarding the Zav, the Gemara has a lot of comments on it. In fact, most of today's daf is going to be revolving that the first part of the Mishnah. So once again, you have a Zav, he had already one, two discharges, and they qualified. And now that third discharge, so even if it doesn't qualify, it qualifies. Why? Raglaim Ladavar. That is really, that was the best summary of the Mishnah. I was really happy with that. Minani Mili. Good. So now that I summarized the Mishnah, so the Gemara wants to know, so where is this coming from? Meaning, what's the source of this idea? So I'm a Rabbi Nelson, I'm a Krava Zavet Zavo. L'riya Shlishis Itkish L'Nekeva. So the Gemara now is going to go through a number of iterations of how do I know? How do I know that for number three, don't bother checking? Don't bother checking. So the Gemara now says it's a drasha. V'azav etzavo. Good. So we're going to start with a pasuk. It's in Parsha Shmini, right? V'adava b'nidasa v'azav etzavo l'zachol v'lanekeva ulisha sheyishkavim t'meya. Okay. So over here, what do you see? V'azav etzavo. So count up the zavas. It's not that hard. There are only two of them in the pasuk. Which means that for number one and number two, obviously we're talking about a male. So there we're gonna question, ask, was it internal? Was it external? If it's internal, qualifies. If it's external, doesn't qualify. Fine. Then what happens after number two? Meaning we don't have any more zavim in the pasuk. So now what happens? We just read on the pasuk. I read the pasuk. La zachav v'lanakeva. For a male and for a female. Ah. Meaning anything past the 2 point, men and women are going to be equal. Now remember, I dropped that information back in the Mishnah. By a woman, it doesn't matter whether it's internal or external. A woman is a zava, regardless of whether or not, regardless of cause. Now we're going to take the halacha of the woman, of no discrimination between external and internal, move it to the man by number three, and by the man, it's going to be the same halacha. In other words, basically, what Rabbi Nassan is saying is gzeres hakasuf, meaning that forget trending, forget propensity. It just happens to be that it's a drasha. Now v'hatanya, the Gemara says, okay, but I do have another brisa. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shlishis Bokinoso Brivis ain't Bokinoso. So there is another shita, and the shita Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that for number three, we're still going to research. We're still going to make a distinction between external versus internal, a bedika. And then only for number four, no bedika. Now, by number four already, it's fair to ask me, in other words, he's a zava gadola, meaning you can't get any more zava than three. So by number four, we're not going to be discriminating. By number four, we're not going to care. Okay, so it's fair to ask me that question. I do have an answer, just not for now. I'm just going to focus right now on the Gemara's point, which is, if you're darshaning hazavet zavo, so how do we get, instead of 2 to 3, which makes sense, how do you get from 2 to 3 to 3 to 4? So the Gemara says, Elab esim kemifligi Rabbi Eliezer darshesim rabbanan lo darshesim. So what Rabbi Eliezer will tell you is that the S, the hazav, S zavo. So you see that word S, it's grammatical, it's an article. But again, we're talking about the Torah over here, every word is significant. Now, as much as every word is significant, do we darshan every single word? So do we darshan the esim, yes or no? It's a machlokas. Throughout Shas, it's a machlokas. Right? Everyone here remembers that Rabbi Akiva? Yeah, was it Rabbi Akiva? Darshaning every S in the Torah? I hope I'm right. Okay. I'm now second-guessing my memory. Anyway, or Shimon HaMsuni. Okay, Shimon HaMsuni, and either way, regardless. So one of the Tanaim was darshaning every S in the Torah, and then he got to Es Hashem Lekech Hatira, and you're going to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and S is coming to include something? Well, that's crazy. In other words, what other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu should we be fearing? Okay, so So once he got to that pasuk, Hashem lokecha tira. So at that point in time, I'm abandoning my thesis. We're not going to be darshing every S in the Torah. Okay. And the so it's a machlokas throughout Shas whether or not we darshan the word S. We don't darshan the word S. And the Gemara says that's what's going on over here. Hazav es zavo. So according to the Tanakhama, only the zov, meaning we don't darshan S. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, we darshan the S. Okay. Onso sveko. Now, by the third discharge of our zav, so what do we say? We said that basically whatever's coming out, and it doesn't matter if it's ones, doesn't matter if it's suffake, whatever it is, it's going to qualify. And now he'll be considered now being a baal zav of gimel re'ios. And again, the difference between two and three by a man, two you need shivanakim, three you need carbon. Okay? And so for that third re'ia, so all you need now is basically anything. Okay? And it doesn't matter if it's ones, and it doesn't matter if it's suffake. So ones is external. That we know, safek. So we're on samach vav amen aleph. We're on the top. Am Rav Lotema safek chaza safek lo chaza. So Rav says, I just want to help us understand safek over here. Safek is not just limited to whether maybe he saw, maybe he didn't see. But elavade hu chaza machmas shech vazer safek machmas riya kevin shenizka klutuma safek otame. No, in other words, he had a discharge. He was mesupak. He was in doubt whether or not it was shech vazer or whether it was a zava, meaning the actual material that came out, was it Sheikh Vazer, was it Zav? It doesn't matter. Meaning that since already he's trending in that direction, he already has two qualifying Zav discharges. So now this third one over here is for sure going to be, regardless of, maybe it was Sheikh Vazer, it doesn't matter, it qualifies as a third. Okay. Sheikh Vazer O Tmeya. Okay. Now, go back to the Mishnah, and in the Mishnah, we talked about Bedikah, we talked about one and two verses number three, and then the Mishnah said the following, that the Shech Vazer Tmeiro Sharaglaim Ledover, that if it's Shech Vazer that comes out, it's going to be Tamei. Okay, now, to understand this part of the Mishnah and the Gemara, so let me just highlight the following. The person who has the discharge is going to be Tamei. And again, go back to my intro to the Mishnah in terms of the schedule of 1 versus 2 versus 3. Okay, so the person himself who is actually discharging is Tamei. But now we're talking about the actual discharge itself. So the discharge itself, the liquid itself that comes out, that's also going to be an avatama. So anybody else who comes into contact with it is going to be Tamei. Okay, now, graphic, but this is just basic to Matahara. So if it's actual Sheikh Vazera, so it is Metame, but only Bemaga. Only when somebody else makes contact with it. Okay. If it's a Ziva discharge, so the Ziva discharge is going to be Metame, both Bemaga uvemasa. Okay. Basic ideas, right? Just factual information that we need to know in order to proceed in the Gemara. So now what the Gemara is teaching us is the following. So he had one Ziva discharge, a second Ziva discharge. And then he had a third discharge, let's say it's Sheikh Vazera. Okay? So what we're learning together now in the Mishnah is that even though it's Sheikh Vazera, it's going to be Metame. And the Gemara is now trying to wrap its head around what the Mishnah just taught us. That if it's after two Ziva discharges, now that he has Sheikh Vazera discharge, that Sheikh Vazera discharge is going to be Metame. And the Gemara is basically going to look at the Mishnah and say, what? Meaning, even without all the context, of course, it's going to be Tamei. The Gemara says, Lamai, Ilema, Lamaga, Migarim, Sheikh Vazer, the Torah. In other words, what are you talking about? That this, the actual discharge itself, which is Sheikh Vazer, is going to be Metamei, Bamaga? That would be true on any given day. A man is with his wife, normally. And then, Sheikh Vazer was, whatever, the Sheikh Vazer lying around, and somebody else touches it, he's going to be Tamei. So is that the entire point of the Mishnah? Well, that can't be, because I don't need him to have a Ziva discharge followed by a second Ziva discharge, meaning just normal. So, Ella Zara shows up Metame Bemasa. Okay. So the Gemara says, obviously the Mishnah is interested in teaching us a Chiddush. Here's the Chiddush. After having two classic Ziva discharges, he now has a Sheikh Vazera discharge. That Sheikh Vazera discharge will not only be Metame Bemaga, it will also be Metame Bemasa. Oh. So in other words, after two, number three, Sheikh Vazera is going to be treated like a Ziva discharge. Again, let's all remember, in other words, empirically, we could see the difference between whether or not Shechva Zera Ziva. It's different in color. It's different in viscosity. Again, you and I, I'll speak for myself. There's no way I would be able to differentiate. But from the Gemara's perspective, they were clearly empirically different than one another. But what the Mishnah now is telling us is that since he already had two Ziva discharges, so that third discharge, even though it's coming out Shechva Zera, will be status-wise be treated like a Ziva discharge, in that it will be Tameh B'maga Uvamasa. Okay, good. So, Man Shamat Lohu Damar Shechva Zera Shozam Tameh B'masa. So the Gemara says, okay, could you show me where that is? Meaning, that's a Chiddush. That's a Chiddush. And the Gemara now is going to struggle a little bit to find out, like, who says that? Ilei Mai Tana D'Tanya Rabbi Elazar Amar Shechva Zera Shozav Inim Tameh B'masa. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Tameh B'masa Lefi Sheyef Shalo La Belo Zichzu Cheziva. So here now we're quoting, and a machlokas tanaim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and that is a Shechva Zera V'zav. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, Shechva Zera V'zav, you know what that is? Shechva Zera. Meaning when I say of a Zav, obviously what I'm describing over here is that he historically already had Ziva discharges. He now is the status of a Zav. And then while being a Zav, he has Shechva Zera discharge. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you know what that Shechva Zera is? Shechva Zera. Meaning it will only have the status of Shechva Zera. Again, only Metame B'maga, not B'masa. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, Amar Metame B'masa. Now, Rabbi Yeshua says that it is going to be Metame B'masa, but here's the kicker. Here's the part that we zoom in on. Do you know why? Because in that Shechva Zera discharge that he had, there's for sure going to be trace amounts of Ziva discharge. In other words, remember, we're describing somebody who already had multiple Ziva discharges, and so now he is having a traditional Shechva Zera discharge, but you know, there's going to be trace amounts of Ziva in there. And because of that, now it elevates to the status of being a Ziva discharge, and it'll be Metame B'maga Uve Masa. Okay. And I know, by the way, just interesting questions, which I'm not going to go into, but in other words, if it's only trace amounts of Ziva discharge, and the majority of the of that was Shechva Zera discharge, so normally we say Rov. And Rov usually is the determinant of what it is. And over here, just because of trace amounts of Ziva discharge, now it's going to get upgraded to being a Ziva discharge, being Metame both B'maga Uvemasa. Okay, good. I'll raise the issue, but we're going to go on. And to the Gemara's point, and afilu Rabbi Yeshua lo amar la mishum tzichzu cheziva ava beinei lo amar. But the Gemara now just simply points out, yeah, I'm sure everyone here noticed, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the only reason why the Shechva Zera V'zav is metame b'maga v'masa is only because of the trace amounts of ziva that's mixed in together with the Shechva Zera. But the Shechva Zera by itself is not going to be metame b'maga uvamasa. So ala marva d'marva lomar. Okay, fine. So now what we need to do is that we need to go back and we need to say a pshat in our Mishnah. Because what did our Mishnah say? That Shechva Zera is Temeya. Shechva Zera V'zav is Temeya. And we're trying to wrap our heads around what? Why? Shechva Zera of a Zav is Temeya. And we're not, here's what we're not saying. We're not saying that the Shechva Zera by itself is going to be elevated and upgraded to Ziva status, being Matami, both B'maga uvamasa. We're not saying that, because it's not true. It's simply not true. So, we have to say a pshat in the Mishnah. So, Alam Ravada Brava Lama Shein Tolimba. So, over here, we are going to say a pshat in the Mishnah, and that's going to be a halacha regarding Taliyah. Now, what is the halacha of Taliyah? So, here, just go right to the Tosos, alongside where we are in the Gemara. Mesechet Zavin, Tanana, Roa Keri. Eino mitame beziva kol me'eis leish shakari poter ziva ha'bala achara. Kol me'eis leish. Ava mishenizkak l'tumma. Az lo tiftor ha'shechva zera. It's a ziva ha'bala achara. Okay, so we have to know another Mishnah. Okay, so let's learn another Mishnah together. Again, let's go back to what we started off our daf with today. Anytime a man has a ziva discharge, but its discharge was based on any kind of external force, If we can blame it on the food you ate, the drink you drank, and go through the seven different examples of our Mishnah, so then we simply say, it's a ziva discharge, but it doesn't qualify as a ziva discharge. It doesn't have the status of a ziva discharge because it is not machmaso, but rather it's meonso. Okay, that's where we started today, today's daffin. Now, here's also what we're saying. Let's say the man has a just a regular shechvazer discharge. He was with his wife, okay, and he had a regular shechvazer discharge. And then within a certain time frame afterwards, he had a ziva discharge. So what the Mishnah in Zavim tells us that the that because it was proximate to a shechvazer discharge, the shechvazer discharge weakened him, and so therefore the ziva discharge that happens shortly thereafter, it doesn't qualify as a ziva discharge. And this is the halacha of tolin. Now we're adding the following point. Okay, that's just everything I said was just ABCs. That's just your basic vocabulary. Now we're adding the following point, and that is if he's nizkak, which means that he already had one ziva that qualified, a second ziva that qualified. Now for that third ziva, even though it was precipitated with a shechvazera, he was with his wife, right? He's allowed to be with his wife. So he was with his wife. And then, shortly thereafter, he had another ziva discharge. Ah, that's exactly the point. Normally, what we would have said is that a ziva discharge immediately there following shechvazera is meon so. I know that's normal. But over here, he already had one and two ziva discharges. So now raglaim ladavar. So now we are trending. And since we're trending, so now we're going to say that the ziva discharge, even though we normally would have said taliya, here we're not going to say taliya. Okay, good. So that's going to be the pshat in our Mishnah. So tolan ba salver, papa kami de rav lememar, I do chol shehu dechazei. So the at first the Rav Adar Ba'ava, sorry, Rav Papa says to Rava that maybe this has to do with chulsha. It has to do with the fact that it weakens him. In other words, what I suggested. So Amale Rava Vatanan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about consider the following Mishnah, which is Gershon Isgar Mitame Miad Beziva. Let's say Gershon Isgar, you have somebody who converts, and immediately after the conversion, he has a ziva discharge. Okay, well. So sorry for not passing up on the quip over here. Welcome to Yiddishkeit. Okay, so the Gershon is garim mitame miyad beziva. So that means to say that immediately after his gerus he has a ziva discharge. So it's a ziva discharge. So mitame miyad beziva amalei lecha choli gadol mizeh. So the Gemara says, yeah, that meaning conversion is in fact holy. Now, what's happening over here with this Gershon is Geyer? So there are a couple of ways to say it. Over here, just if I may, normally I say over Tosfos, so over here I'm not going to. Just to say like the Rush, which it's fascinating. It's such a great insight. The Rush says that, yeah, conversion is unbelievably stressful. Okay, been involved in a couple conversions, but it's not, in other words, that's not my profession. But, you know, I was on the Beis Din. But it's unbelievably stressful. You're going now to a life of being chayv and mitzvos, meaning you were not responsible. Now you become responsible, right? It's like anyone who takes on a tremendous responsibility, like it is unbelievably stressful. And so the Gemara says is that what the Geirus would do is that the Geirus would qualify as something which is chulsha, meaning that it weakens you. It induces a tremendous amount of anxiety and stress. By the way, good anxiety and good stress. Meaning, you know, the responsibility, but it's a tremendous responsibility. Okay, Ella Tanahi. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're pointing out over here is that in the scenario of being a Balkari, immediately after the Balkari having a ziva discharge. And whether or not that does or does not qualify as a ziva discharge. So we thought of ascribing it to the idea that the Balkari weakens you, doesn't weaken you. And we then thought that a distinction can be made regarding Balkari ziva in of itself versus Balkari ziva after he's nizkak leziva, after he already is trending towards ziva. The Gemara points out it really is not a function of having chulsha, but rather the Gemara points out it's just simply Gzeiras HaKosov, it's simply a machlokas. And we're going to go through it together inside. El Tanai, the Tanya, we learned in the Brisa Shech with Zerah Shel Zav. Mitame Bemasa, Kome Esleis. Oh. Okay, so the Shech with Zerah of a Zav. So again, now, meaning he already now has Zav status. And after having Zav status, now he's going to have a Shech with Zerah discharge. So, Mitame Bemasa, Kome Esleis. So, as long as it was within 24 hours, it's Mitame Bemasa. Meaning, it's not just Maga. Meaning, Shech Vazera in of itself is only Metame B'maga, but this will be Metame B'maga V'masa. And Rabbi Yossi, Amar Yomo, and Rabbi Yossi says it's going to be towards the end of the day. So, B'maka Miflagi Kedishmul, so that what they're arguing about over here is the following. They're arguing in Shmuel's Drasha. I know, by the way, that's a little bit strange. The Tanaim are arguing about Shmuel's Drasha. Shmuel comes, of course, after the Tanaim. But in other words, Shmuel's Drasha, Shmuel did not invent the Drasha. The drasha must have been around, obviously, for generations. And then what Shmuel is just simply doing is that he's giving voice to the drasha. He's articulating the drasha. The drasha Shmuel goes like this. The Shmuel Ramiksif. Shmuel notes the discrepancy between two psukim, ki yeh becha ish asher lo yeh tahor mikra layla, uksiv lifnos erev yirchatz b'mayim. Okay. So over here, the pasuk is describing what seems to be two different time periods for the Balkari. So, now, if you say that a 24-hour period, so that's lifnos erev, right, before nightfall. And v'idach daik mikra laila. And the other one, darshan, is the mikra laila. Mikra laila basically means nighttime. So, man darmim lifnos erev zaksi mikra laila amalei, orcha dekra lamasi balaila. So he says, no, mikra laila, in other words, normally a person has a shechva zera discharge at nighttime, meaning that's just simply the normal time to have it. Effectively, what the Gemara is saying is that it has nothing to do with chulsha, it has nothing to do with weakness or sickness, it just is it's a gzeiras hakasef. That's all. Period. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first part of today's daf. Complicated. Admittedly, it's complicated. And having nothing to do with nazir, but that doesn't matter. In other words, it's part of the mesechta and part of today's daf, and good, and it's Torah. So, effectively, if we can just simply recap what we saw in the first half of today's daf, and that is that when a man is having a zav discharge, so for the first time and for the second time, a bedika, right? Investigation, a simple Q&A, right? In other words, to discover and determine whether or not it was internal, external, internal machmaso, external meonso. Because when it comes to a man and a zav discharge, it only qualifies as a zav discharge only when it's machmaso and not when it's mayon so. However, if he had two discharges and now we're looking at the third discharge, so for the third discharge, no differentiation is to be made between whether it is machmaso or mayon so. Why reglaim ladover? Because at that point in time, he's trending to being a zav. Not only trending, by the way, it's more than trending. Right? Trending doesn't really do justice to what we're describing over here. Because he's a two-time zav discharger. Which means now he's a Zav Gadol. He needs Shiva Nakim. He doesn't have to bring a carbon, but still. In other words, he's already has a status of being a Zav. And so now, if what comes out next is Zav discharge, so we're not going to start determining whether or not it was external or internal. Okay. Then the Mishnah, that was the easy part of the Mishnah. that was just simply like rudimentary. Then the Mishnah says, and you know what? If he already is Niskak Laziva, he already had two Ziva discharges, and now what comes out is Shechva Zera, the Mishnah says that Shechva Zera is going to have Zav status. Okay? And what we try to do, and that was most of what we've been doing now for the last 20 minutes, is that we try to wrap our head around this idea, how can the Shechva Zera have Zav status? How can that be? Where is that coming from? And the Gemara effectively says, you're right, it's a Gzeiras HaKosov, meaning the Shechva Zera by itself is only Metameh B'masa. Let me do that again. Let me do it correctly. The Shechva Zera itself is only Metameh B'maga. The Ziva is Metameh B'maga V'masa. But on the Shechva Zera post-Ziva, so we have a Machlokes tonight whether or not it's Metameh B'maga or Metameh B'maga U'V'masa. Okay. And that was definitely the harder part of today's daf. Oh, not definitely. It was the harder part of today's daf. The rest of today's daf is pretty straightforward. Easier. Nazir Hayashmol, Kedivra Rabbi Nurai. Shmuel was a Nazir. Okay, that's a controversial statement. Shmuel the Navi. The Shimshon we know was a Nazir. That one was easy. And Avshalom also was a Nazir. We've already established that earlier in the Masechta. By Shmuel, there is no clear indication in the Navi that he was a Nazir. And so what the Gemara now is going to do is end the Masechta. It's a really interesting ending to the Masechta. End the Masechta with a debate as to whether or not he was a Nazir, yes or no. Okay. The Gemara does not raise this as a question. I'll just simply ask it. I'm sure there are answers. But generally speaking, what happened historically, although it's important, we don't care. And I know that sounds funny. Meaning, obviously, I could easily be quoted out of context. So obviously the history is critical. But in terms of halachic issues that occurred in the past, so the Gemara says on a number of occasions, my dehava hava. Meaning whatever the halacha was back then, so okay, good, great. In other words, but if it doesn't have relevancy to our halachic lives, my dehava hava. Shmuel was a Nazir, yes or no? Okay. Well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. How does that impact me halachically? Okay, so, and the Gemara doesn't raise this as a question, but I gave voice to the question. So, Nazir HaYashmul Kedivra Abnurai, Shenemar. Now, this is the only clue that we have in the Navi that Shmuel was a Nazir. Umara Yelo Yale Arosho, it says that a Mora should not go on his head. Now, what's a Mora? So, Nemar Bishimshon Amora, Nemar Bishmul Amora, Amora, Hamora Bishimshon Nazir, Afmora, Hamora Bishmul Nazir. Well, we do have a connection. By Shimshon, we also have the same terminology, and we know Shimshon was a Nazir. So now we're going to take the verbiage that was used by Shimshon, move it back. It's funny, I said back. Okay, forward. Okay, better. Right? Shimshon's in Shoftim. Right?
Shmuel. Are you seeing it with a Nazir Shimshon or a Nazir Olam?
Fair question. I don't know. Okay. So the Avmar Amor B'Shmuel Nazir. Okay, so Shmuel also was a Nazir. Okay, so we have one pasuk, it's not even a pasuk, it's a phrase in the Navi, that only because we can associate it with Shimshon, are we now saying, we, Rav Norai is saying that Shmuel was a Nazir. So Amr, Rav Yossi, V'alo in Mor, Ela Shal Basav Adam. So Rav Yossi says, no, what are you talking about? When the pasuk says regarding Shmuel, Umor Elo Yala Rosho, it means that he's not going to be fearing another man. That's nothing to do with Nazir. Meaning Rav Yossi's countering and simply saying, you're wrong. In other words, Shmuel was not a Nazir, and the pasuk that you're citing to me just simply means he's not going to be fearing another man. So Amar Rav Nurai v'alok v'nemar v'yam Shmuel ech eilech v'shamashal v'hargeni shekvar ayala v'mara shal basav adam. Well, Rabbi Nurai's counter to Rabbi Yossi is, well, you certainly can't be right, meaning if your interpretation of the pasuk Mara lo yala al rosho, meaning he's not going to fear anybody. I know he feared people. He feared Shaul. He didn't want to go because he was and anoint David, because if he went and anointed David, he's afraid that Shaul's going to kill him. Don't tell me he didn't fear people. He feared people. Okay. Amar lei Rav l'chia b'rei. Rav said the following to his son Chia. Okay. Now, as much as the Mishnah ended off on it's not a tangential point. I mean, we're learning Nazir and a discussion as to whether or not Shmuel was a Nazir or not, but the Gemara is just simply going to launch into a halacha. A halacha that, by the way, is discussed in Brachos. So this is something now, this is the second time we're discussing this particular halacha. It's fair to ask me, why are we discussing this particular halacha right now? Okay. Anyway. So Rav says to his son Chia the following. And that is, Chatofa Barich, V'chein Amalei Ravuna L'Rava Barei, Chatofa Barich. So a lot of paternal advice given from father to son, right? Two Amoraim are telling their sons, you know what? You're at the end of the meal and you're going to be benching. Okay. Now, if I can, in other words, we did this back in Brachos, but quickly describe how did benching look back in the day? So you had three people who ate bread together and now we have a Zimun. And now what's going to happen? One person's going to bench. The other two are going to listen carefully and they're going to answer Amen. And that's how benching looked. Nowadays, everybody benches, but that's not how it was, but once upon a time. Once upon a time, one person, the one who was doing the Zimun, he also was the one benching, and the others were listening. Okay, so you now have options, which is that either you could be the bencher or you could be the listener. So the paternal advice that's given from father to son is that you should be the bencher. You should want to be the one making the bracha. Don't be the one saying amen. So they're both good. They're both important. But in other words, but if you had a choice, chatof ubarech, like grab it. Grab the bracha. So the mevar the mevarich adif. Now that makes it sound like that the mevarich is better. Vatanya will enter the brace. Rabbi Yossi Amar Gadol no amen Yossi min amavarech. So Rabbi Yossi says the one saying amen is greater than the one making the bracha. So Amalei Rav Nurai Shamaim kachu teda sharei gul yarim. Forgive my pronunciation. It's definitely not right. Mitgarim b'melchama v'gibarim notzchim. The Gemara says, I'll give you an analogy. Let's take a look at an invading army. So who do you put at the front line? Okay. You put, I'm saying this like I'm some tough guy. I'm not. But in other words, you put schleppers at the front line. Okay. So in other words, basically the front line is there to absorb the initial hit. Okay. Then where do you put the real warriors? The real warriors are behind the front line. Okay. So same thing with a bracha, right? It's a funny analogy, but the same thing with a bracha. Meaning the one making the bracha, you're like the people at the front line. And then the one answering amen, so you're the gibor, you're the warrior when you're saying amen. So, in other words, it's a simple question. What's preferable? Making the bracha or answering amen? So tonight, he said the Gemara says, that's a machlokas tanaim, detanya. Echelem avarch ve'echelon amen b'mashma l'shem emarlem avarch t'chila. So the Gemara quotes another brisa, and the brisa says that the mevarich, the one making the bracha, is greater than the one saying amen. Okay, so that's it. That's the Gemara's conclusion. It's funny. Why did the Gemara bring in this halacha right now? Okay, so I don't yet know. But regardless, however, a machlokis amongst Tanayim, and clearly the Amoraim are weighing in on this, whether or not the mevarich or the one answering amen is greater. They're both good, but which one is greater? Okay, so the machlokis amongst the Tanayim. And then that last line you probably heard before, but I'm gonna save for a siyum. In the meantime, however, a quick recap of today's daf. First part of today's daf, we went into the world of Ziva. We went well into the world of Ziva. Okay, good. In other words, then we don't get to cover Zav in the daf Yomi. So we got great exposure today to the world of Ziva, having a better understanding that when it comes to a man who's a Zav and his Ziva discharge. So there are many halachas that apply to him, and today we went over an assortment of halachas that apply to a man who has a zav discharge. Then, that was the first half of today's daf. Okay, and that's all I'm summarizing right now. And then the second part of today's daf is going to be a very, very short discussion in the Mishnah as to whether or not Shmuel was a Nazir or whether he was not a Nazir, and Machlokas Tanayim. And again, I was curious as to what the significance of that would be for you and I, meaning halachically, it doesn't seem to impact our life whatsoever. Okay, but nevertheless, the Tanaim are arguing about it. And then finally, the Gemara has a debate in terms of what's preferable, being the Mavarich or answering Amen.